Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And excited about having a new friend, Ed Harrington, back on the show. I should say Ed is he is the CEO of Ideas to Go. He's on the board of directors of the Yale Center for Customer Insights. He's a co-author, along with Adam Hansen and Beth Storrs, of a new book called Outsmart Your Instincts. And he's here to talk to us about that. This is a fascinating topic. Ed Harrington, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. You know, as I get into your book a little bit, you know, your topic is fascinating to me, because one of the most interesting things about human beings is the way we get in our own way, in all the different manners that we get in our own way. We have our paradigms, the rules that we establish for certain things, you know, whether it be about a color or a way a car should be shaped or how food should taste or whatever. We get these things in our mind, and we're convinced that this is the right thing to do, and maybe it is for us until it's not, right?
That's absolutely right, and a lot of this is so ingrained, it's in our DNA. It's second nature. It's really almost in our subconscious, you know, and it really kind of dates back to, we say, you go back to the cave days, and the caveman who went out and saw what was rustling in the bushes, the curious one, might have gotten eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. The rest kind of watched and went, I think I'll take it a little more cautious. And then you end up with a paradigm that says, be careful, be cautious. Whereas you're saying, we get into our ideas, what is right and what is wrong, and we follow that path without ever rethinking why we set up those particular rules or constraints, you might say.
They come from all different directions, don't they? And they come from our own experiences. They also come from what we've learned from, for example, our parents. My favorite story about this is a little girl who's watching her mother cook a ham, and the lady cut about 3 inches off the end of the small end of the ham. And her daughter said, Mom, why did you cut the end of the ham off? And she said, well, that's the way Mother taught me how to cook a ham. And she said, well, why did she do that? They said, well, let's call her. And they called up Grandma, and they said, Grandma, why did you cut the end of the ham off? She said, that's the way my mother taught me to cook a ham. And they said, well, let's call great-grandma. They called Grandma and said, why did you cut the end of the ham off? She said, I never had a pan big enough for a whole ham.
And we call that sometimes availability bias. What you know and saw most
recently
is what comes to mind for you. A similar story is, you know, chicken wings. They're so good now, they've actually set up a chain of restaurants for chicken wings. The reason they started serving chicken wings up in good old Buffalo, New York, because they used to throw them away, and they were so cheap.
Right.
That a bartender figured out, hey, you know what I could do? He rethought the whole thing. He reimagined it, and he said, well, how can I turn this to my advantage? He said, you know what, I'll spice them up like crazy and feed them to people, and they'll drink more beer. And that's exactly what happened.
Right, exactly. So how does it? You know, these are kind of funny stories we're telling, but sometimes these biases that we have, these paradigms that we establish, the rules that we put up in front of our eyes and over our ears, sometimes it gets in our way, doesn't it?
Absolutely, get in our way. And my two co-authors and myself, Beth and Adam, we do a lot of work with teams, helping them come up with new ideas. That's kind of what our occupation has been for the past 30 years. And what you see there is these different kinds of, as you say, these habits people get into that really block the way. And these are called cognitive biases. There are many cognitive biases, but we really focus on 8 that we think are the biggest blocks to helping people think creatively, think sort of more openly about things, approach things from a different angle. You know, the one I call the kind of the granddaddy of all is negativity bias. And that's the phenomenon when you sit around a table and you got the one smart person who puts down every single idea that comes up, tells you why it won't work, what the problems are. Now, that's something we're trained to do. And I will have, I would say that many people who come to sessions are the same way. And so we want to block that because it's a very interesting phenomenon. But tests have shown or proved that people actually put more weight in negative responses, and they remember negative stuff better than they do positive. It's just a phenomenon.
Well, you know, sometimes when I'm telling a story, when I'm writing and I'm trying to something, I'm telling a story, I will write it out, not having any kind of an agenda or anything for it, but I'll write it out in a negative way, and then I have to go back and reframe it in a positive way, which was just as easy. It just wasn't the first way I did it.
Exactly. And one of the things that we do, so we teach people to use a couple of exercises. So instead of, there's a phrase, yes, but. It's a fabulous response to any, you hear it all the time to anybody's idea. Let's do such and such. Yes, but. And then you kind of act like you're agreeing by saying yes, but then follows the but. And the but is, it'll cost too much, it'll take too long, it's been done before, the competition knows about it, and those types of things. So we use a technique out of improv that's called yes and. So instead of saying but, say and if you change just that demeanor, makes a huge difference. Yes and, it's a really expensive thing to do. So now I'm stating a fact as opposed to blocking the idea. Right, I'm not going to kill the idea. I'm going to say yes and I've got to come up with something else. We also do a thing, Jim, we call the foreignist response. This is kind of what you did to your articles or when you do your writings. You sit down and say, whatever the idea is, what's great about it no matter what, right? Yeah. So like in the book, we go through a fur-lined sink. Here's an idea, fur-lined sink, which is a relatively absurd idea. But if you go through and say, well, what's good about that? Well, who doesn't drop dishes in sinks? Oh, so that's good. Dishes won't break. What else is good about it? Well, if I was going to bathe a baby, right, I'd like something soft. Gee, maybe it'll drain the sink better, right? The water will course off the fur better. So we've got different angles we go into and say, well, what about a sink that's self-cleaning? What about a sink that won't break dishes and things like that? So you kind of use it to leapfrog into the area of possibility. Whereas if you just said, that's a disgusting thought, over and out, next idea, after a while, a couple of things happen. It becomes discouraging. You don't want to come up with more ideas in a group session.
Right.
And it limits you to things.
Hey, Ed.
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought, Ed. I need your website. Tell us how we can find the book.
Sure. If you go to our website, is ideas2go.com, and that's all letters, ideastogo.com. And in there you'll find the...
I'm sure it's available at Amazon. Ed, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Harrington and I will be right back. Stay with
us. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.